Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I like sucking, but I ain't gay.
Legit bad podcast.
Fuck those honkies.
Kick ass.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
He really knows how to suck a wiener.
Without further ado, the people in the world that I love chopping it up about Clown Town the most, my very good friend from Northern California, Legit Bat Podcast. What's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey.
Dude, you're so much more professional than me. You're blowing me away there.
Oh,
I start
man.
My show by saying, hey, how's it going? Anyway, our guest is, I always forget the promo
shit. So I'm in that weird place where it's like, you know, I feel like... there's value in just jumping right into it and just start talking and just starting the show. You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't do that. I'm like, honestly, I don't know. Like,
no,
it irritates me when I listen to shows and they do like 5 minutes of commercials and stuff and promotions. But it's like, you know, I'm not trying to shill anything. I'm not trying to sell anything, really. I mean, and there's stuff I believe in, like the Richard Grove Autonomy course. Like, dude, that shit's epic. Everybody needs to take that course, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And
no, I have nothing against that at all. You're blowing me away because I'm like, I need to take notes on how to start my show.
Yeah, I mean...
Like he's got that news anchor fever, man. He's like starting it up and he's like, welcome to World News Tonight with Scott Armstrong.
You know, we're building the new media, man. Like, we're the That's new good. Media. Like, you guys, too, man. Like, we're all... like, your guys' journey is awesome, man. Like, you guys are just... I feel like you've got that same just... undying just like passion for it, man. Like, I see it in the memes you make and like your thumbnails are just
all
just amazing. I know, but you're like, you know what I mean, like, just like, or our correspondences all day today, like, you got a very physically demanding job, you work all day, and then you come in here and you hop on the microphone, and then at the same time you're pushing out all the extra stuff, you know, you're managing the Telegram group and you're doing all the extra stuff above and beyond, just because it's like a work of passion. Like, it's just something that we just have to do, you know, we're drawn to this. And so I totally relate, and it's just so evident in like the work you guys do. So congratulations, man.
Thanks,
it's just awesome. Yeah,
it's just a fun hobby. So
yeah,
there are way more facets to this hobby than I ever thought there would be, but yep, we're trying to keep up.
Yeah, man. And that's what it is too. And like, it's such an amazing like learning process, you know. I don't know, man. Like, I just, when we first started, like, I remember just that feeling of just like, we don't know. Like, I went and watched our very first episode recently, which is hilarious. You know, of Truthzilla. And it's just like, we were like, literally just like, we have no idea. We're just shouting into the abyss. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen here, you know? And it's a trip. It's a trip, you know? And
that's what we did.
I know.
our first episodes were horrible. What we would do is get really drunk and be like, hey, let's do a podcast tonight, just spontaneously. So our first
people want to hear this.
Yeah. Our first few episodes were absolutely terrible. We were just like drunk spitting into the mic, just random bullshit, nonsense. And we actually built a following somehow. I don't even know how that happened.
I know.
Joe would text me like 7 o'clock at night and he'd go, want to talk? Like, okay. So we jump on, and you know, I'm hanging up blankets behind me, and I'm in the laundry room with nothing more than like a $30 Turtle Beach headset. And we'd get on there and be like, so what's been going on? I'm like, I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
That's funny.
It's
man.
Such a learning so experience though. I feel like we've grown a lot where we learn to turn away from the mic when we're coughing, or just not talk over people, or not say random shit that's on our mind. Like, you learn a lot of self-control doing this, and a lot of mindfulness and listening skills, I feel like.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Jen, I'm sorry, my little logo is like partially covering your face there. I feel bad. Like, just it's gonna like, if you ever, yeah, if you need to cough or take a sip, you just jump behind the logo and you're good. Oh, here, I could do this. How about this? Let's do this. I wonder if I can like rearrange that. Oh, there we go. There we go. There we go. So we'll rearrange it. So there
we go. That's covering our logo, you fuck.
you completely rebunked Jen's face.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. Okay, well, we're gonna roll with this. I'm sorry, I got one of your logos partially covered, but that's all right. You got plenty of
other ones.
All right, actually, hold on. I could do, oh, dude, this is genius. I wonder if I could do this. Oh, look at that. I could cover my stupid door. Yeah, I don't need, I need to figure out something here. This is
never
not
cover that flag. That is the best fucking flag. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, I read that as a full sentence. Are you threatening me? Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, nope. Yep, yep, yep. Oh, man. Yeah, are you threatening me? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, that, I love, yeah, exactly. So yeah, but this isn't working. I got to figure out the door situation. It's funny because, like, you know, I was thinking about, well, so I have a green screen, but well, it's just like green sheets, you know what I mean? But I moved into this place right here where I'm currently living. And the very first thing I did is like, I walked up to this big window right here. That's face that I'm looking at right now. And I went to lift the blinds and the whole blinds went and just crashed and fell down. And like the landlord just kind of sucks around here. And I just haven't, like, he hasn't been able to like follow through on much, you know what I mean? So I'm like, whatever. So I have my green screen up as a curtain right now. But once I figure out that situation, maybe I can move it over to the door or something. I don't know. But
I like the door. It adds character. It looks cool.
Okay. Yeah. 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 So anyway, so what's new with you guys? Like, you guys are, man, like, you're on Forbidden Knowledge New and then Forbidden Knowledge Network. You've got a kick-ass new theme song. Like, tell me about where that theme song came from.
It's always been the same intro song, but that was... I made a new video for it.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it started out the song. I just was fucking around on GarageBand a few years ago, way before we started the show. I just flipped off parts of that song and used it, and it's just stayed. So I'm not gonna change it now.
Okay, good.
He took off Jen's chubby bunny and my drunk licking a Guitar Hero guitar. So okay, it was a win-win.
Awesome, you guys.
It was a win-win for me and Ben, for sure. Because Joe, it was supposed to be clips of all three of us, but Joe was doing the pie in the face game, and it's like a 1 millisecond clip of him, and then the pie's in his face, and then it's me playing Chubby Fluffy Bunny with a bunch of marshmallows, where you stick them in your mouth and try to say that.
Yeah,
yeah, but it was on for way too long, in my opinion. And then Ben just like deep throating a Guitar Hero guitar for, again, way too long. And I think the new video is fantastic.
Yes, it's legit. It's very legit. Absolutely. Aww,
our tagline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what's up with Forbidden Knowledge Network? Like, what's up with all that?
Oh, I just texted Chris one day and was like, hey, how do I get on Forbidden Knowledge Network? And he's like, I'll add you to the site. That was about nice. It. But he does a lot of, he's great. He does a lot of fucking promo for all the shows on FKN Network. So it's great. Glad to be over there with those guys. Yeah. They're all friends.
Exactly.
Never seen so much since we don't do a lot on Facebook. When we first started the show, first thing that I thought of was getting on social. So I set up the Instagram and Facebook accounts and just kind of put a nondescript background to it. The logo that we had at the time, which is ironically still the same one. But when I set it all up, it ended up just not being, I wasn't able to keep up with it. There was so much shit happening in that first year and Joe took over it. And we never really put a lot of stock into Facebook. Like, Joe would put some memes on there and maybe some captions and stuff, but it wasn't as big as Instagram because of the amount of what's it called, visual content that that, you know, Instagram relies on. And now every day I'm seeing promos from FKN with our logo on it, talking about, hey, they just came out with this episode. As soon as we drop one, dude, he is fucking on it. He will grab it. He'll link everything. And I'm like, wow, thank you, Chris. Like, it's the community, this entire community has absolutely blown me away in the past 2 years. The amount of help that people give you. There's an old saying that my brother said when he first started learning sales, if you help enough people up to where they want to be, you'll eventually get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
And I mean,
that makes sense.
This whole community has been like that, man. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's been my experience too. I totally relate. And then both of our logos, shout out to Bags Draws on Instagram. So he did your little logo behind you guys there, Joe and Jen. And then I was like, whoa, that's so badass. And so I reached out to him, and he designed the logo for my current show. So
there you go.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Nice. Perfect. So, yeah, exactly. So shout out to Bags at Bags Draws on Instagram if you guys need any graphic design work. He's the man.
We love Bags here as a fellow OBDM fan.
Yes.
And since he drew our logo and also sent me this gem of a sound drop.
Boner.
Shout out Bags.
Oh, nice, dude. That's perfect. That's perfect. So what's on your guys' radar? Like, you guys doing, like, you guys love to cover the crazy, like, Planet Retard news of the week. Like, I saw you guys, like, are doing, like, a relaunch of Planet Retard. Is that still a thing, or what's going on? Tell us a little bit about that.
We used to do it every week as kind of an extra for the Patreon and the Rockfin Premium and all that. And it just got to be too much. We're doing so many shows a week. And I ended up shutting down the Patreon because fuck them. And then we were just trying to figure stuff out. Took a hiatus for a couple weeks. And when we came back, we just hadn't done it much since then. But everybody seems to love that show, which is funny because it was the show that we didn't give the most fucks about because it was just kind of an extra, you know, show. So everybody loves that show, though, because we cover fucktarded fucking news, and there's usually no short of that. So I did bring one for you that I found earlier here.
All right, nice. You guys, yeah, there you go. Bam. Perfect. What do we got?
Yeah, and most of the stories we cover are stuff like this, where it's, I mean, this isn't as fucktarded, but the fucktard thing I...
There we go.
Whoa.
There we go.
We got ads up here. Hey, fuck.
That's all right.
So this is just dumb because it says neutron stars are structured like chocolate pralines.
Reveal. They're revealing this.
Oh, really now?
True. Yeah.
Digging down deep for this.
We all know space is fake and gay. So we don't even, the rest of this is just, you know, whatever. But I wanted to look at the way that they came to this cartoonish picture.
God.
And all of it's based on theories. It's all theoretical stuff. And that's what I always say. It's what most of science is based on is theories, which are things that have not been proven. And then they have another theory that is based on that theory. And so on it goes. And here we are spinning at 66,000 miles an hour.
Well, you got to love how deep they dug for this one with all of the fucking chocolate puns. It is like there's no way anybody who's interested in anything above us takes this shit seriously.
Yeah, this is like the same people that brought you the what was that? Just like the star that they took a photo of that turned out to be like a piece of chorizo or something like that. Remember that one?
Exactly.
Yeah. Man,
those,
what is
those memes of people sticking tortillas to the slider and taking a picture looks like the moon.
Yeah, the people who are interested in an article like this are the same types of people who have absolutely no idea what a chocolate praline is. So they're going to learn two things at the same time. They're like, what is a chocolate praline and a neutron star?
I have some reading to do. So these are their idea that these are chocolate pralines.
Yes, they know Mountain Dew and they know Skittles maybe, but definitely not chocolate pralines.
Scott, are they choppy on your end as well? A little bit.
It was a little bit. It was a little bit. I was hoping it was just a thing.
Well, I was hoping it wasn't mine.
Yeah, it was. I heard a couple chops, but that's all right. Oh, look at that.
Are we good? Can you hear us?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. I'm good. If you're good,
okay,
that's cool.
Yeah,
voice
you're
meter
in a lot better now. Yeah,
voice meter banana. I've heard LD from Grand Theft World talking about that. Shout out to LD. You guys watch that show, Grand Theft World? You guys watch that show, Grand Theft World, or listen to that show? Dude, got to get on that. That's like the best show out there, man. Love it. That's, So, anyway,
speaking of shows, Scott, have you watched the newest Netflix Graham Hancock release?
No, man. I haven't watched a Netflix thing in forever. Like, you know, tell me about it. I don't know.
Lene asked me if I had seen it, and I had no idea that it came out. I had no idea. And I'm trying to remember the name. It has Apocalypse in the name, but that's about all I remember. But he did this.
Wow, great story, Ben. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll continue. It's basically it's like 6, 7, or 8 parts. They're about an hour long. And he compiled basically all of the work that he's done in the last 30 years and he's got all kinds of faces on there. He's got Joe Rogan, just a shitload of different archaeologists and stuff that are in the field that have gone to all these different places. He explains how they came to the conclusions. It was really, really interesting. And obviously his take on it is the idea that clearly some of these things, if they came out, would be, you know, earth shattering to the science community. This idea that they are finding things that are way older than the supposed oldest that we've been able to find. And every time that he tries to take this in and get it published, you know, he gets turned down. It was really interesting. If you're familiar at all, and to the listeners, if you're familiar at all with Graham Hancock's work, it was a good banger of a show. We binged it in one day.
Wow. Okay. I mean, it sounds interesting. It looks like it's called Ancient Apocalypse.
There it is.
There it is. That's what it is. Ancient Apocalypse. So it's got the ancient aliens vibe to it, right? Or it's like, you know, alternative history and stuff. It's like, I don't know, man. I'm kind of like all the way off the Joe Rogan thing these days. Like,
yeah, a lot of people are. A lot of people are.
I've been completely disillusioned. And
I heard Owen Benjamin say that he straight up called Joe Rogan a gatekeeper of knowledge.
And I'm like, I would say a good 15 to 20%. Well, maybe not so much these. A good 10% of like Owen's material is ripping on Joe Rogan. it's pretty intense. Like, there's a unit of measurement. So he invents like when he's really trying to like you know, eviscerate someone, he'll come up with like a unit of something, like a unit of measurement for them. So in this case, like a Rogan is a unit of measurement, like height. So one Rogan is equal to 3.33 inches. So so I've done the math. I'm 21.6 Rogans tall. You know, that's about 6 feet. So there you go.
But how wide is it? Because it has to be Rogan proportions.
So yeah, exactly. That's a good question.
Those are measured by Rosie O'Donnell's.
Yes, yeah, so Rosie. Uh-huh. One Rosie O'Donnell. That's width, like waist. No,
you're like a quarter of a Rosie O'Donnell.
Okay, yeah. So one Rosie. Yeah, exactly. So like point something. And then he also has the Tate scale, which is the what does he call it? The sodometer. Like how gay you are on a scale of 0 to 1. One Andrew Tate is full blown. And then and so like a point, like I don't know, what would be an example? Like rollerblading is like a 0.3 on the Tate scale, something like that. You know what I mean? So
that's pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah. 0.5 is the thin gay line. Once you cross over a 0.5, that's actual. Now you're in like physical touch realm. And so you can go right, you get a 0.49, that you could be like driving in a Miata listening to like Jewel, like with all, like,
oh my god,
everything, dude. Like with rollerblades, the full deal, like going to a pride parade, and that's still only a 0.49. You haven't crossed the thin gay line yet. So
anyway. But so,
five and above is your schlob and knob at some
yes corner. exactly. And then you can go all the way up to a one, which is Andrew Tate. So there you go.
Yeah, if you're wearing your mask in that Miata on the way to that function, that you instantly cross into the 0.5.
It's still a 0.4999999. Like if you pull down your mask and start slobbing off, then you cross over to a like that's like.
what if you eat a banana as a male with your eyes open?
If you close your eyes, that's super gay.
I'd say that if you close your eyes, that'd be like a 0.4.
Because then it's like
emotional, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's showing enjoyment right there with that nanner.
Actually, yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. Like eyes closed seems like you're more like sensual with it.
Right.
You know.
And again, there's nothing wrong with that if you're gay, but it is gay. I'm just
saying. Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to put it.
I'm gay, though. I was the best hair braider in prison, but I ain't gay, though.
Yeah, they say in prison it's not gay, it's just a hustle, man. You're just trying to survive. That's how it is.
Right.
I don't know anything about that. Yeah. No, in fact, look, dude, it's crazy. Well, actually, I was just talking about this with somebody the other day. So I had a very interesting prison experience, right? So you guys know about my whole escapade with that, right? Like I was kind of lost there for a minute, and I did about 14 months in Oregon prison over some shoplifting that I was doing when I was all strung out there many years ago. And it's like, it's definitely not what you think, right? It's like, I had this vision in my head where it's just like, you know, just horrible. Like my biggest fear is like, God, please. I just don't want to get raped. God, like I don't care. I'll get beat up. Like you can beat me up. You can take all my food and all my everything, dude. I don't care. Like, just please don't let me get raped. Like, please, God, like, please. Right. And it wasn't at all like that, dude. Like literally it was like, I got on the worship team I was able to go to the church and play a bass guitar every Sunday. And then there was practice throughout the week. And so they let me have an acoustic guitar to take back to my bunk. So I literally just play guitar. Oh, it was like weightlifting, like people like during the summer, everybody just laid out on the yard and suntanned, which is kind of gay, right? But okay, that was like a point.
You're not getting raped. It's not.
No,
gay.
It's
a really shitty college campus or something, which I mean, people have likened.
Exactly.
A shitty spring break.
Yes, it's exactly it.
Everyone probably had the same idea as you. They're like, please don't let me get raped. Please just let me send
I know.
Around with Casey's on the poles. Like, no.
Exactly. And then they had so you could choose like vegetarian tray options. So they had like multiple like dietary health options. You know what I mean? So you could have a vegetarian meal tray.
Wow.
And then
be arrested.
I know. And then the grand finale was they brought in these miniature ponies for like therapy ponies for the inmates to pet. And the ponies had like dresses and little shoes. Yes. And so
well, now we found out why you didn't get raped.
I know, exactly. So like literally, this was Oregon prison. So it's like maybe California, or I've heard like federal prison is a little worse, but
Oregon prison, they're like, would you like some blue hair dye today?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, equine therapy is great. Yeah, it sounds
exactly.
like prison is actually focused on the prisoners and rehabilitating them instead of forcing them to come out of prison and commit crimes again.
Yeah, it's probably a better model.
You know, yeah. I mean, it wasn't that bad. Like my most traumatic experience in prison was I asked the guard, hey, can I go to the library and get a book? And he said, no, go back to your bunk. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
You know, you asshole. Dick.
Yeah. So that was like the most traumatic thing that happened to me. So anyway, I just got, you know, I got back into guitar. I got really healthy and that's where I got clean. And I've been clean ever since and just been crushing ever since. And so it's like, you know, definitely exactly what I needed at the time. But it's like, man, yeah, it's not what you see in the movie. That's for sure.
I was going to say, it's no wonder why you always see a big influx of inmates right before Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, there's something to that.
Well, there's a lot of people on the street that when you talk to them, when they know, you know, they don't have an address, if they get in trouble, they're not going to show up to a minor, you know, infraction. They're just going to get a bench warrant. They're going to book and release. They don't give a shit. And so then they'll literally, when it's getting into the winter and it's in somewhere cold, they'll go do something stupid enough to not get killed and get sent to prison so that they have a warm bed and food and all of that stuff throughout the holidays. Because at that point, they're like, I'm not seeing my family anyway. For a lot of those guys.
Funny that you said that though, Scott, because I mean, I just went to county for a week and I was the same thing. Please don't get raped. Please don't get raped. It was nothing. It was a bunch of druggy people and like DUI people. And they all just kind of kept to themselves. And we all just kind of, you know, tipped a hat as we walked down the aisle.
Yeah.
You know,
like, down the aisle. Yeah, my dad went like to, my father went to federal prison, my stepdad, for like white collar crime. So he was with like lawyers and doctors and shit.
They had cricket matches on Fridays.
No, they had races. He used to run marathons. So he orchestrated a race for everybody to do on the grounds. And there wasn't even a fence. Like there was a fence, but it was like the kind of fence you'd put outside your house. Like nothing that like they could definitely jump it and run away if they wanted to.
I was going to say a white picket.
Yes, it was like that. It was like a wooden fence. I went to see him a couple of times. He was in Massachusetts and then in Florida for a minute, but he was only there for 2 years in total, I believe. But he said it was fine. He just, the only thing he bitched about was that he got paid 11 cents an hour. Mm. And I was like, well, I mean,
it's literally like literally like the show White Collar, where the first episode is he gets out of prison. And the next thing is he's wearing a white collar going back into work. And he's like, all right, what can I do to make a lot of money?
Dude,
he went in like with a clean shaven face and came out like Harrison Ford from The Fugitive. Like he had a full beard. And I was like, damn, prison changed you, Dad. but that was it.
Wow, that's crazy. You know, I just had an interaction with a guy that Ben, like what you just described there. So yeah. I've been doing like handyman stuff out here. You know what I mean? Just like picking up work and just like, and it just like, it's so busy out here in Nashville. It's just like insane. And so I'm just like, I always have stuff to do. But I had this one guy reach out to me. He was like this contractor and he had a website and everything. And he asked me if I wanted to come in and like help him on a few projects. And man, this guy was doing some crazy stuff. Like he was working on like multi-million dollar houses. Like that's one thing. Wow. Down here in the Nashville, Franklin, like Williamson County, just south of here, is like one of the top 10 or like 15 richest counties in the whole country. Like it's just in, they have like literal castles like all over the place down there. It's so, like those are all like the country music stars live like around here. Right. So it's just like it's yeah, it's a lot of white, you know. Yeah, I mean there's that, but it's just extremely affluent. So this guy was working on some amazing houses. Like he was working on this one house. It was in a historic district in Nashville, and that's like these are like serious historic districts because there's like all Civil War battlefields and everything around right. here. So it's like serious historic type stuff, you know. And he'd the house was level, like out of level by like 8 inches from like front to back. And so like they literally had torn out all the flooring, ripped out all the foundation, had the whole house up on stilts, and was like re-leveling the entire freaking like 150 year old house, like mansion of a house, you know. And I was helping him on that house, and he was building a whole other structure on this other multi-million dollar house. They had 5 different projects going on, and like I was helping him with all these different, like we were just hopping from one job to the next. And he gets a call one day and he's like, hey guys, I gotta go, I'll be back. And then he just never showed back up. And the guy I was working with, the other guy who apparently knows his girlfriend, called me and was like, bro, have you heard from so and so? I'm like, no. He's like, well, he's in jail. And I'm like, what? I'm like, holy shit. So so we do some research. I type in the guy's name, and sure enough, like he just hears all of these freaking news articles about that guy having like, he was like a ransom Ponzi scheme like 15 years ago. He was like a financial advisor, ran this Ponzi scheme and got busted and went to federal prison for 10 years. And he just got out. And now he was like doing all like he just must have just picked right up and started doing these remodels. But like, it just blew my mind because like these people's house was literally like ripped to shreds. And now this guy's like in prison and we're like, oh my God, these homeowners are so screwed. Like, oh my God, like it's just the most insane thing ever. And
logistical nightmare.
Oh my God. So I was talking to the guy.
First of all, who the fuck built the house in the first place?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, after 100 some years, I'm sure it's just colonials. Like, yeah, right. Colonials. Yeah, exactly. You know that. Yeah. So, so it's just like, and she was just so nuts. And I was talking to the guy. I'm like, should we go tell the owners like what's going on? He's like, no. You don't want to be anywhere near that situation, dude. Like, cause that's going to be a shit storm. So I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't want anything to do with that. So anyway, yeah, I know what you mean. That white collar stuff. Like once a scammer always a scammer, I guess, man. Like, I don't know. And then apparently he got arrested for bribery and theft. And I don't know what in relation to again, but dude just got out of prison for 10 years. And now he's like, it's just so crazy.
That's gotta suck too. Yeah. I mean, like, I obviously have never really actually been to jail. I spent 2 separate nights in holding cells between my 2 DUIs. And even with that, it was like, there was a part of me that when I walked out, I didn't want to see anybody that I knew ever again, because they're like our oldest brother. He was like, how come you didn't tell me? And I'm all, well, see, here's the thing. You've always gotten away with drinking and driving. I was like, I get caught all the time for everything. And I got caught the second time. And when it's the first time, it's like, you're young. It's a mistake. When the second time happens, it's like, okay, you didn't learn the last time.
Yeah.
And when I walked out the second time, I my phone wasn't with me. I had a button up on from the night before. And so I walked, I don't know, like 4 or 5 blocks to get to a gas station where I could call Joe and ask him to get me a taxi. And I remember thinking, like, I got to show up to work and then be like, hey, here's why I'm late. And then tell my family, hey, can you give me a ride home? Because I can't drive anymore, ever, for a while. I was like, there's this overlooming shame that you have when you first kind of get out. That's like, well, now I get to actually be back in the real world. And obviously for me, it was 5 hours. But it was the idea that nobody knew where I was. I remember picking up my phone and having all these missed calls from my work, from Joe, just everybody. And I remember thinking like, fuck, dude, I got to tell them all about this. I can't imagine with even just that little experience getting out and then a couple days later having to go back in.
Yeah.
That would absolutely blow.
Ben, you were in a prison camp for like 2 years, though, as a child. So, I mean, for real, he was. So we did an episode on it. It's a very long episode. That's maybe why you've dodged jail and prison for the rest of your life, because the universe was like, you did enough.
He was
like,
trying.
Yeah, I did my damnedest. Shit.
Okay. Yeah, those prison camps, man, they'll whip you right into shape every time, man.
It was like a child rehabilitation camp that Ben was sent to. So, I mean, that's, they made it seem fun, kind of like Club Fed, like the white collar prisons. Hey, we're going to do like, you know, swimming and races and fun stuff, and you can milk cows, whatever, but it was still a prison.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, the rehabilitation part, like getting you more steered into more like positive skills and things like that, I totally get on board with that. But man, yeah, you know what? Yeah, well, okay, maybe it didn't work, but you know, maybe it planted a seed. Maybe it planted enough seeds. Because imagine how off the path you'd be right now if it wasn't for that. Like, you'd just be like, dude.
Well, I have said that before, because there's a lot of science, and they talk about it in multiple different religions. When you take somebody who's out of their element, who is starting down a path, even if the experience itself was not ideal for the rehabilitation, the very omission of you from that path when you get back can stop you from continuing down that path, even if it was a shit, you know, time in between there. There were so many people that they, and Joe and I just had this conversation the other night when we were talking about, you know, seeing a lot of people that have gotten out of drugs. When they go back to it, they aren't just starting over like it was their first time. They go back to it starting like they're picking it up where they left off, and then they OD and they die.
Yep, that's exactly it.
There was so many people that I went to this academy with that's exactly what happened. I have an album with four of us, because we made this like a cappella quartet thing while we were there. And by 2019, there was only two of us left.
Wow.
Out of those four. And I remember thinking like, yeah, this is a really common story with a lot of those guys. They get out, they, you know, try to stay for a while. Some of them don't try at all. They're looking forward to going exactly back to the lifestyle that they got drug out of. And some of the other guys, they try, but you know, a lot of those guys, they were not as fortunate as I am where coming out of it, there were so many people that were happy to see me back. A lot of these guys, they come back and they don't have, it seems like they don't even have a snowball's chance in hell. And, you know, they get back into it almost immediately, and their bodies can't handle it because they've been clean, you know, for 2 or 3 years. Yep. And it just, they don't have anybody watching over them when they try it. And it's really, really sad. And, you know, part of it is I look at it and I'm like, yeah, but it was a really good experience in hindsight. It blew big floppy donkey dick when I was there. But taking me out of that path, Joe and I have talked about it as well, is where both of us were kind of at when I got sent there. You know, it was right around the time that I literally was in for 2 weeks and had learned that Joe had already got sent to county, spent 5 days in, and got out. In that short 2 week period, I had gotten sent to this place for the next 2 years, and he had already gotten in and out. And so, you know, looking back on it now,
all about this on our whole 3 hour episode that we have.
Yeah, what's the name of the episode? No, you guys are good. No, this is fine. Like, this is great. I love this discussion, man.
Was it called? It was
called Journey Through Trauma-Based Mind Control, I think is what I named it.
Okay.
It's a very long one.
3 hour episode. Very long.
It's nice. Actually the longest one that we had to date. It is for the listeners. It is behind the premium. I was going to ask you, Joe, if we could permanently take it off of the paywall. Just because if it helps anybody after some of the feedback that we got, I just want it to be available.
It's premium on Rockfin because that's the video, but the audio is out on our regular feed, so you can get it for free.
Oh, okay, yeah, that'll work. Yeah,
look at these fresh flossing thumbnails, guys. Like, look at that. So good. Dude, I love it.
I know I'm gonna get hit with a copyright at some time because I just use like stock Google images and then do stuff over it, you know.
Yeah, Totally, dude. Just keep doing that. Who cares? Like, as intellectual well. Property, they can. Dude, you guys. I mean, you guys have been getting such good guests. You got freaking Gordo and Crow, and just like, and I just love seeing people.
Joe's a master of pulling these people in.
Yeah, man. I know. It's a skill, man. It's a skill.
No, not really. I just ask them, and they come on.
I know, but like, there is some skill to it, man. Like tracking these people down.
You just have a yes kind of face, Joe.
Okay, yeah, a yes face. He's got his yes face. Hey, I this is the other thing, and it's like, I know we joke about it and talk about it all the time, but it's just worth mentioning here. That's like, so back when we were doing Truthzilla, kind of the ongoing running joke was, you know, we would get all excited about this big guest that we were booking, and then like that week or the week before, like legit Bat had him, we were like, what the fuck, dude? And so like it was literally like one after another. It was like God, I can't even remember. Well, I remember it was Tommy Chong. I mean, it was Tommy Chong, right? And oh, it was we were all excited. We're like, dude, we got Tommy Chong. And then all of a sudden, Legit Bat drops an episode with Tommy Chong. We're like, motherfucker. And then and then I just got in contact with the Ikes. That's when I got in contact with the Ikes. And then you guys are like, all right, we got an episode with David Ike next week. I'm like, motherfucker. And then
at the moment, though, because I've been trying to get Jason Burmis on, and I don't know if I have the wrong email address or what, but I saw you just had him on.
So yeah. Are you on Twitter?
No.
Okay, we got to get you on Twitter. I mean, Twitter's useful. It is a shit show.
It might be worth it now with Elon.
Yeah, and that's the way I look at it, too, where it's like, you know, I'm going to use it while I can for the purposes of promoting the show, but I'm not, like, thinking it's going to be the end-all, be-all of, like, you know, it's going to save humanity or whatever.
That's one of those ones where you go in there, you type something out in a promotion, and then you literally close the app and never look at it again.
Yeah, totally.
Because it does. You could literally say, we're going to have on the actual Jesus Christ and people are going to just negatively comment all over it. Like that is Twitter. It's
of
course a cesspool.
Yeah.
If you want to start a Twitter, man, knock yourself out.
Scott, I was thinking too. Oh yeah. That's not going to happen.
Do it, man. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it'll just be a brown star. That's going to be the emblem. So what you were saying though about having those people on, you know, following us on who the guests were.
My first
thought was, I was like, but you're reaching like, I don't know, 25,000 times the amount of listeners as we were when we dropped our episode.
No, I don't think so, dude. I think you'd be surprised. I think you'd really be surprised. Even these days, it's hard to get the audience. It's like organic listeners. Mm-hmm. It's still hard to get, man. Like, it's like, I have a channel on band.video, but I don't really count those as views, really. It's just like people are just like, duh, click a video on there. It's like they don't know.
I always say on our show, I don't know how much to believe of the analytics. So
exactly.
I'm not gonna even worry about it. Like I'd kind of gauge it off how many people personally email or DM us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so there are people out there listening. That's good to know.
Yeah. I know that there's people out there, and like I know with your guys's, and you guys also, if you guys look in the episode description here, all the links to follow Legit Bat are there. They got all the Telegram group, which I don't know if you're trying to be sneaky with your Telegram group or not, but there's a way, maybe I can show you afterwards, to have it like your link more visible so that people can get to it easier. I was going to show you. There's like a feature in your. But anyway, I'll talk to you about that afterwards.
No, I was trying to look for
the link, and I was like, what the hell? And I had to go back to my Telegram where you posted it in just the other day. And I was like, okay. So anyway, we'll talk afterwards. Yeah. But yeah, man. But anyway, you guys, if you guys want to follow, and I suggest definitely like Instagram too, make sure you're getting all the memes, give them a follow. So, for sure. So, well, shoot, man. I got a couple
retarded shit, dude. I'm sorry.
I love this, man. This is like what I love the most, you know, just chopping it up and, you know, catching up. So, well, one of the things, like, I think these are important stories. You know, I think these are important to highlight. And, I mean, it's like, you know, and I'm just going to show you because it's stuff I've been working on. And so I can speak a lot to it. You know what I mean? But also it's like, how insane is this shit? And so like, this is the first one. So this is off of the Last American Vagabond Substack. And basically what we've been doing, the formula, the recipe here is Ryan does like 3-hour shows, you know what I mean? Like almost every day. And so I go in and I find like the best, like 10 minutes or like a piece of information, and I take it out and highlight it. So like, for example, this one, Ukrainian neo-Nazi groups have factions in the US, both tied to the CIA. And this is just insane, man. And so you can go in and watch the video here. I'm not going to play the video, but, you know, anybody that wants to can watch that video excerpt of Ryan talking about it. But really the core of it is like, I mean, as we all know, like the there you go. So you got the Tiki Torch guys, right? The Charlottesville 2017.
Oh, really terrifying. Jeez.
I know, with like their little Walmart Tiki Torches and stuff, right? And so
they got,
and so
dude's got a polo shirt on.
Yeah. So these are like allegedly like the most dangerous, you know, evil white supremacists in the history of the universe there. You know what I mean? Look at that. Look at that. Those are the dangerous neo-Nazis. It's a bunch of
incels.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude's got a mustache. There's no way.
I was just gonna say he has a pop stash in the back.
He's probably a Fed.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the Fed, exactly. Look at all of them, dude. So look at those motherfuckers, dude. So basically the way this breaks down is like, we have the Ukraine situation, right? Are you guys following that at all? Are you guys like,
I stopped
very loosely.
It's so mind blowing, but basically the idea, like the hypocrisy comes in because, you know, the left has been screaming for the last 8 years now or 6 years now about like, you know, oh, Trump is a Nazi, like all literal Nazis. Right. And it's like, but at the same time, they just, the Zelensky guy, they just love him to death. And then Ukraine, there's nothing can go wrong in Ukraine. Well, it turns out that literally the paramilitary organization in Ukraine are a bunch of like actual like self, like they call themselves Nazis. They are neo-Nazis. They do the freaking salute. They have Nazi flags and they're literally like not neo-Nazis, and they're not even like ashamed of it. And one of the main ones is this Azov Battalion. The Azov Battalion is like one of the main paramilitary groups out there in Ukraine. And so there were four guys that were arrested in connection with that Charlottesville movement. And from an affidavit from this FBI special agent, it says that those dudes in 2018 were found in a photo going and training and hanging out with the Ukrainian military, a regiment of the Ukrainian military called the Azov Battalion. And so like they're over there, like, so these guys, like the literal Nazis, right, that here in the United States, like these are the literal Nazis that CNN has been calling for the last 4 years, got all their marching orders and all their connections from the damn Ukrainians that CNN. And so like, here we are. And so this is today. This is like today in Ukraine, same Azov battalions with like actual torches, right? They don't have the Walmart Tiki torches. And so... And then there's all these documents like connecting them directly to the CIA. So this is like Ryan's tweet where it says Yahoo News reports in January described a covert CIA training program for elite Ukrainian special operations forces and other intelligence personnel that was launched in 2015 by the Obama administration. So again, CIA is over there training these Ukrainian paramilitary organizations that then go and have connections with our guys that come back here and do like instances like Charlottesville. So it's like, dude.
So has the mainstream been covering the Azov Battalion at
no,
all?
Or no, just kind they of, don't know.
Okay.
No. And like there's all these like articles saying like no.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
That's the other thing. Yeah, it's just talks about how like they're not. They're trying to paint the picture that no, there's no Nazis there. Which reminds me of another article we did like earlier where the UN, and this is really funny too. So the UN has this on the UN introduces legislation every year, which is just a waste of time in my opinion. But they it's just more bureaucratic bullshit where they introduce this bill, where the whole world every year is supposed to declare that they are against Nazism. They have to redeclare it every year, and the bill is called Combating Glorification of Nazism, Neo-Nazism, and Other Practices That Contribute to Fueling Contemporary Forms of Racism, Racial Discrimination, Xenophobia, and Related Intolerance. So that's a bill that gets introduced every year. And every year, there's two countries that vote no against it. Can you guess who those two countries are? The United States and the United States and Ukraine. And so now, granted, there was like 50 countries that abstained from that vote. But it's always the U.S. And now in years past, like all the way back to like 2004 up through the 2010s, the United States always issues a statement saying why they declare that, why they vote no against it. And they claim that it's because of First Amendment free speech, that yes, they are Nazis, but they still deserve to have free speech. Right. So the one time the U.S. government or the U.S. authorities ever step in to defend someone's free speech as like defending Nazis. Right.
That's bullshit.
Wow. But yet, right after.
I usually don't get angry about politics shit, but
yes.
What after what's happened for the last 2.5 years now at this point?
Yes.
Fuck you. You don't even get to claim that.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess you do. It's your fundamental right, but we have that too. Come on.
Yes, exactly. But then again, okay, so now we get to 2022 where they make the same UN. You know, resolution comes up, the U.S. votes no again, but this time they have a different reason for saying no. And this year, their reason for saying no is that Russia has said that their reason for invading Ukraine is to denazify Ukraine. And this bill is sponsored by the Russia. And the U.S. does not acknowledge that there are neo-Nazis in Ukraine in the first place. Therefore, they don't recognize the legitimacy of Russia's invasion, the reason for their invasion. And so that's why they're voting no against denazifying.
Well, what boils my blood about that whole thing and the ties to Charlottesville is that the way that our media worked is that right afterwards, they just condemned President Trump for never condemning the Charlottesville attack, which he did repeatedly.
Yes.
But then they hung on to this one statement where he said there were good people on both sides.
Yes.
He was not saying that anybody who did the attack was a good person. He was saying that the protesters and anti-protesters alike had good people on both sides in this tragic event, which he condemned. But of course, that was the part that they latched onto and they said, oh, he never condemned it. And I'm like, hold on. So the same people who are fine voting against the bill that is for denazification are sending people over to train the same other country who is the only one to not vote against the denazification so that they can then come back and do things like Charlottesville and then blame it on the other side. Good call.
Exactly. So just the hypocrisy. And Joe shows up with the old Truthzilla Fauci gave us all AIDS shirt. What's up, dude? That's awesome. Which you guys can. You. Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it. You guys can still order that Truthzilla.org/shirts. No. I don't get the proceeds of that anymore, but I still support everything that goes on over at the Truthzilla world.
It is absolutely appalling that you would wear that shirt while we're doing a podcast. Defend the fact that you are wearing that. You are completely wrong.
Completely wrong. Ben, you got a good Fauci impression, dude.
You gotta gravel your voice a little more, like he eats a bowl of cigarette butts for breakfast every day.
Which I do. I could do that.
A little more gravel. So yeah, dude, like the whole Nazi thing is just nuts, man. Like I can't even wrap my mind around it. Yeah. So that's one. That's one of the ones I brought. And this one, so we're coming up. We got about like 10 minutes or so. So this is the second one. And this was something that we just put out today. And Jen, in particular, I want to see your opinion on this one. And so this is so now there's an so mother's vaccination status excluded from neonatal death investigation. So now this is centered in Scotland. So in Scotland, they are reporting a 133% increase in neonatal death. And so I had to look up what neonatal death meant. And so that's like within the first 28 days of life, a death resulting. And so up through 2020, the average was, and this is in Scotland, the average increase in death was 2.1 per 1,000 up through 2020. And that's a little higher than years past, like 2019, it was 1.49 deaths per 1,000. So a little bit of an increase baseline in 2020. But then in September of 2021, which is, and so actually, okay, so let me back up. So Scotland started their COVID-19 injections in December of 2020, in like the very first week of December 2020. And 9 months later, exactly 9 months later, they're seeing 133% increase in neonatal death, death within the first 28 days of birth. Now, that's alarming, right? Now up to 4.9 deaths per 1,000. So Public Health Scotland has launched an investigation into this because it's very, very alarming. However, they have said outright from the get-go that public health experts have already ruled out any link between spikes in neonatal death and the COVID vaccine without checking whether the infant's mothers have received the jab during pregnancy. So they're doing an investigation, but they're saying up front that they will not look into whether or not the parents were vaccinated. They're excluding that outright.
And that's not a good investigation. That's ridiculous.
No, that's science. Yeah.
Well, that's science. If they're actually doing an investigation to find out what the actual cause is, then that absolutely should be checked. I mean, it's obvious at this point. I mean, I'm not trying. I feel like I'm just like
doesn't that explain to the, choir the, here, but... the buildup of the last 2 years, though, of why they're like safe and effective.
Yeah,
so they're like, sad. No, it can't be that because it's been proven safe and effective. So.
Well, listen to this. This is Public Health Scotland says it was not possible to identify a scenario that would have resulted in a change to public health policy or practice. So even if we did investigate that the vaccines contributed, that still we can't envision a scenario where that would lead to us changing public health policy, right? So there's nothing, there's no data or outcome.
Why try?
Yeah, but so why would we even try? Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is that they're trying to investigate the cause. It doesn't matter if they're trying to make a change. They're just trying to identify the cause.
Exactly.
And that's the whole world that we live in now, is that if at any given point the cause might be something that they don't want to come out, then it just is omitted at all from the investigation.
100%.
Bob's your uncle. There you go. You find a new cause based on the highest percentage, which would link second to COVID or the jab.
Yep.
If they had been investigating it as part of their investigation. It's like it's like the idea that, 90% were from mothers who got the jab. But down here, the second place runner was 20% of this happening. Well, since we're not doing the 90% at all, that means it's the 20% that we found second in line, because that's the top of the actual part of the investigation.
Exactly.
It's absolutely heinous.
Exactly. It says it says that the outcomes of such. So this is, again, a quote from Public Health Scotland. The outcomes of such analysis, whilst being uninformative for public health decision making, had the potential to be used to harm vaccine confidence at this critical time. So basically, they're saying that we're not going to even consider the COVID vaccine to be, or the COVID shot to be, a contributing factor to this, because it might prevent people from wanting to get the shot.
Yeah, exactly. What they're saying right there, all I hear is they're saying, oh my gosh, we're really scared about what these results could mean. Or how this vaccine rollout goes. Like, they're scared. This is a fear-based article. Whoever wrote this was terrified.
Yeah, and there's links to all the stuff in the article. But, like, and then again, I just pulled this from OpenVares, which just shows, this is...
Jen, the person who wrote this isn't terrified. They're not promoting it at all. They're the ones that are like, dude, this is bullshit.
It's tough to say. So the people that wrote that, I got that information from the article. It's
I'm saying the quotes. Not the person who wrote the article, the person who made the statements that he was highlighting.
Yes.
It just shows that they're afraid of what the results could mean.
Now,
people would be like, hey, holy shit, we probably shouldn't take these vaccinations, or maybe just consider it a little bit more.
Yeah. And this is an article I pulled it from. So I didn't go as first. I pretty much just went off of what the article was saying. I didn't go into I didn't pull public health or the PHS like documents. And actually I looked and they weren't like readily available. So I kind of just moved on. But all right.
Imagine that.
I know. I didn't do quite the due diligence. Like, well, I did due diligence, but I didn't go deep enough. But it literally says here, and so what they're trying to blame it on. So here we go. Chance variation is considered unlikely. So like the reason, like that increase, like the fact that might just be a coincidence or up to chance, is considered unlikely given the magnitude and consistency of the changes. And this is the reporting through September 2021 and March 2022 is where these spikes occurred. But the report, the Public Health Scotland report, does say it points to social and economic pressures of the pandemic period as a plausible explanation, as well as problems around healthcare. So they're saying, like, I don't know. It was a hard time for people. So, we had like more than double the amount of infant deaths, So that's
whatever. They're
what
just leaving it open so they can blame it on climate change in a couple of years.
Yes, well, I mean, and they also want amnesty for all the fucktarded shit that happened the last couple of years.
What do you guys think of that one? Did you guys cover that at all? The amnesty thing?
It was one article written by one chick. It was just one article.
That's what was funny, though, is it blew up because everybody had such a backlash to it.
Right. Yeah. I know. And I understand she was trying to speak for all leftists or whatever. But she was talking about COVID amnesty or something like that. Or
basically,
we're sorry for making you mask your kids and get vaccinated and lose your jobs. Please forgive us because we didn't know what was going on and we were acting in based on the information we were being told by CNN and all this stuff that we were saying. Fuck that. It's bullshit. Don't look at it. Don't look at it. And sorry, I'm hitting you. I didn't but all the things that we were screaming at people to not look at, and maybe other people who didn't have shows, just normal people were saying, I'm not going to do this. They got fired from their jobs. They, you know, got pulled out of school or they got their kids taken from them. Some random stories we heard. But meanwhile, these people are like, we're really sorry we did that. We just didn't know what to do and we were scared. So please forgive us. But it was one article written by one chick. So that's my, I tried to see both sides.
Sure. But no, I feel you. I feel you.
Sure, I say, fuck you. Yeah. Bullshit. I don't forgive anyone for that. Sorry.
No, I'm definitely forgiving politicians either. They can suck my very moderately sized
And I'm not forgiving ignorance. No, learn your lesson, bitch. I will let it go a little bit because it didn't affect us here, but just learn your fucking lesson. That's all. Yeah. Next time when this happens again, if you don't learn your lesson, like the fool me once thing. Fool me once, shame on you. Mm-hmm. Fool me twice, shame on me. And like I'm not letting that happen.
No. I think we're pretty resolute in our not being fooled again, I would assume. But, you know, it's a matter of like...
I think that was kept pretty well across the board, considering that I would like to think that the majority of people, although not reported on, also didn't let them be fooled once.
Yeah, exactly. Like, shame on all you guys for being fooled once on this. Like, this was just in your face. Like, come on. You couldn't.
What's absolutely terrible part
is that there's plenty of voices, smallest of which is ours, but there's plenty of voices the last 2 years telling everybody, don't do this. And there's people, you know, critics, people on Instagram, all this stuff. Oh, you guys are crazy anti-vax, blah, 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 blah. And we hear this for 2 years and then they come out and be like, actually, you know, you think you could just give us a pass on this? It's like, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck all of you.
Yeah.
Well, and to be fair though, Joe, our stance during the entire thing wasn't so much of don't get this. It was more of a lead by example of no, go ahead and get it. That's your right. Fuck it. If that's what you want to do, get it. But at the same time, all I'm asking for is the same amount of respect that if I don't get it, I am also treated the same fucking way.
Yeah. I'm actually pro-vax for people that want them. Get one of each. That's fine. Go for it.
No, they're asking for forgiveness for like spitting on people and protesting and throwing things and spitting on people, whatever the fuck they did. They were the most hostile. The people who were wanting to not wear masks and not get vaccinated were the most peaceful, in my opinion. I'm sure there were some violent people out there. That's just how it always goes. But it was always the people who were vaccinated who were like, I hope you all fucking die from COVID. And we're like, oh, okay, well, I've never died from a cold yet. So, you know, I'll take my
chance. It shows their lack of trust in their own product, considering the fact that not only did they have to roll out boosters right after that, but isn't the whole point of a vaccine so that you don't have to worry about the people that might contract it that don't have it? This is, again, my argument for...
They never said that, Ben. They never said it's not transmission.
Well, I know. Well, first of all, they did, and then they quickly backtracked it. So no, that is true. They did say that. But my thing is, whether or not you're talking about the regular vaccines for the measles, mumps, the whole... everything that you can now get vaccinated in your system, the argument for people that are vaccinated to hate people that aren't is silly. Yeah. What are you worried about? You're vaccinated. Yeah. So if my kid wants to go to school unvaccinated and have the whole world open to him that he might get sick to all of these things, great. Maybe he will go to school sick. Guess what? What are you worried about? You're vaccinated against it. Your argument is silly on its face. And again, go ahead and get vaccinated. That's your right. I don't give a shit. I'm just saying that if I choose not to, I should be allowed to go walk around in public without a mask at my own risk, because the transmission thing, who gives a shit? You're vaccinated. Stop bitching.
You libertarian motherfucker. But that makes way too much sense.
There were so many people back in the day that weren't vaccinated. I remember we hung out with kids when I was little who weren't vaccinated because they had certain allergies to certain things. But my parents were never concerned because CNN and MSNBC weren't yelling in their faces that it was dangerous. So they were like, oh, it's fine. You're vaccinated. That's why we got those vaccines for you. So
well, back then it was only like 8. Now it's like 78.
Yeah, literally. Well, yeah. And then they just added the COVID to this COVID vaccine to the childhood schedule, too. And so that just upped it. I don't even know how many that adds to it. I don't know what the what the schedule is for that.
I've used this for years. So
yeah,
you can choose to not do certain vaccines, though. So I don't know if you can do that. So you can pick which vaccines when you go to wherever you get your vaccines.
CVS.
You can choose, because I used to choose on purpose randomly. I don't know why I ever did this, but I would always choose to omit influenza from my daughter's vaccines. I don't know why. But I let her get all the others. I'm not a saint or anything. I got her all the bad ones. But influenza, I never let her get that one. I was like, nah, it's cool. Like, it's just it's the flu, right? It's fine.
Literally,
like,
it's just still, the flu.
I'm way more scared of polio or measles or mumps, which I shouldn't be afraid of now that we've looked into these things. But those were the scary ones.
Yeah.
But I always omitted that one. So parents could probably omit COVID. They could.
Yes. Yes.
Once their children are born, I imagine they could, if they spoke
the
up, but if they just
ever.
Say, yeah, give them the rounds, you know, whatever, they'll give them the COVID.
Yeah. I definitely recommend being very hesitant towards vaccines. Just be hesitant is an easy way to put it.
Just like educated about it.
We had to do it all over again. I wouldn't probably get my kids any of them.
Yeah.
At all. Okay. I'll be like, oh, I'll take my chances.
So, well, and this goes to a bigger ideological point. And I'll end it with this and then I got to go, but
no problem, dude.
It's the idea that if you're hesitant and then you decide to get it, more power to you. I'm not saying don't get it. I'm saying do your fucking research, be hesitant, be cautious. If you have done that and then still decide it's the right thing for you, absolutely more power to you. I will wave an American flag over you when you die. I don't give a shit. But my thing is that if you don't stay hesitant, and the minute they roll something out, you go, I'll get it.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to bring on you whatever the fuck it is that you're going to bring on you.
Yeah.
Like, at least stay hesitant and stay cautious and do your research. If after that you want to go for it, fucking go for it.
I kind of like
that. How dare you suggest people ask questions, Ben?
Yeah.
I know.
Hey,
the science.
Dude, that's great. So who's going to make that shirt? Stay hesitant. That's great.
Ooh,
yeah.
I like that.
You guys want to take that one? You guys should do
perpetual
that.
State of
I don't
hesitancy.
Know. You take that one, dude.
Okay,
it's all good. We
can do t-shirt wars. I'll do one. You do one. We'll see who wins.
Yeah, there you
go. Stay hesitant. We can both do it, dude. Yeah, that'd be great. Hey, if you guys you ever want actually... to, hey, check this out though. You guys, I know you have a t-shirt shop. I know you have legitbat.com. You guys go check out the Legit Bat merch. But the people I was telling you about in the beginning, and this goes to anybody listening. If you have a show or, you know, if you guys are, and Ben, I know you got to go, dude.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Well, what I was going to say is that these guys, Big Frog T-shirts in Beaverton, Oregon, they're super cool, man. Like they did, like if I say, hey, I got an idea for a shirt, like they've got designers, they'll whip it up. They literally built me the website. They put all the stuff on there. I didn't have to do a single damn thing. And I just say, hey, I got an idea. Stay hesitant. Can you make a shirt? And he'll have one up for me tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and it's like completely innovative. Sure. Yes. And he told me if I have anybody that wants to have that same deal to put him in touch and he'll like hook you guys up. So
Hell yeah.
If you guys want, I can put you in touch with him. His name's Ryan. He's a good dude. And he listens to all our shows. I know he listens to my show and he listens to Ryan's show. And it's just like, so
nice.
If you want, I can put you in touch and he can get you guys like a legit t-shirt store. There you go. Legit.
Hell
legit. Yeah. And then that way you can just shoot him a text and be like, hey bro, I need a shirt. Like I had a Halloween party that I was going to, and I was dressing as a conspiracy theorist, right? I had my tinfoil hat on, and I wanted that shirt that said, you know, do you have any new conspiracy theories? All my old ones came true. And because that's like a shirt that, you know, you see it on like Amazon. I was looking on Amazon for the shirt, and I'm like, dude, why am I going to order it from Amazon? I'm going to call Ryan. I'm going to have him make that shirt. And then I ordered it for myself. And I'm like, bam, there you go.
Wear it my fucking self and get a slight discount.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so we can talk offline, but anybody else wants to get that same deal, if you're a content creator and you need a shirt shop, let me know. I'll get you fixed up with this liberty-minded t-shirt shop. So
hell yeah.
Anyway, right on. Well, Ben, anything you want to shout out before you take off? And I mean, well, maybe we'll chop it up for a few more minutes here with the.
Yeah, I'll let you chop it up with them and they'll outro us and stuff. But as always, Scott, thanks for having us on. It's been too long. And now that I know you live over there. For somehow I missed all of that. I will. We've been talking a lot about moving different places. Some of our good friends moved out to Mississippi, and I'm like, real estate's cheap. And
That's true. That's
even
true.
Now with this market, we live in California. It's a lot cheaper for bang for the buck when it's talking about real estate, but
totally.
Thanks for having us on, man.
Of course, man.
And, I will catch all of you guys later.
All right. Peace. Later, Ben. Thanks for joining us.
You bet.
Bye, Ben. Bye. Good to see you.
Bye. So there we go. Right on. So yeah, I don't know. I'll figure we just chop it up for a few more minutes and I'll let you guys go. Cause I know you've had a long day too, but So, it's just crazy. Like, is there anything else on your guys' radar or anything else crazy?
I was going to ask you, this was breaking as of today, Nancy Pelosi stepping down. Is that because of it's after the midterms? Like the article I saw made it sound like because the House might be taken by the Republicans or something, she's stepping down. Or is it because of weird hammer guy in her husband's house dancing around in their underwear? I know everybody and their fucking moms covered this. We have not.
Yeah.
Because I generally care about this. I just thought it was funny. That was about a week or so ago. And now Nancy Pelosi stepping
down. She was like, God damn it. I have to step down. First, you're drunk. Now you get caught being gay.
On
Jesus
the same
Christ.
Day, as I saw Biden.
He's in deep shit. He might die at home from.
It's on the same day as we see Biden or Hunter, whatever, going to be investigated, apparently. So,
I just saw that right before we went live. So,
yeah.
The whole thing is just falling apart. I mean, this is the thing, man. Like, it's going to, everything is propped up with lies and deception and just censorship, right? Censorship has been the big thing. They've shut down one complete side of the argument, one complete side of the discussion. And the only thing that's been propped up is this insane unreality. It's like the inversion of reality. It's like none of it is true. And it's so crazy how it's been able to just like not only exist, but like take all the air out of the room and like just like it drives all the agenda, you know what I mean? But it's all lies, it's all deception, it's all based on just nonsense. And so it has to, like, it can't withstand, like, it goes against nature, like fundamentally goes against nature to the extreme, and something like that can't withstand. And so it's either going to be like this slow, like it's just going to start burning off, or it's going to be this like epic, just the ground's just going to fall out from under it, boom, dude. And so, like, maybe we're witnessing that. Maybe we're watching the first stages of just like the illusions and like reality, just like kind of just, you know, swinging back towards the, you know, just swinging back towards actual reality. Cause I don't know. I don't know. I mean, those are good points, you know.
Well, the floor being, you know, the rug being ripped out of under everything. From what I've heard from a lot of people in the last 6 months or so, the rug's already been pulled and we're just kind of seeing the table tumble in slow motion.
Yeah.
Economically, mostly, socially, probably very soon.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? You know, the power grid gets cut for more than a week and what are people going to do? I don't think it's going to go that fucking bad. Like I said, I think it's in a slow-mo tumble where just things are going to drop off. It's the frog boiling in water where you don't realize it's that bad because it's just one thing at a time. Butter goes up to $7, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which I have noticed lately, inflation is off the charts. And I wasn't paying attention before because I thought I had these like items in my mind that I buy that are a certain price.
Yes.
And I go to buy this stuff and actually look at the cost. And I'm like, that has gone up sub fucking stantially, like a lot, like 200%, 300%. This is crazy. So, I don't know.
I don't know either. I saw a tweet from, I think it was Edward Snowden, was talking about how Visa, MasterCard, all these like institutions are test running a central bank digital currency with the Federal Reserve. Like they're doing a 12-week pilot program. And so, you know, I mean, we know, I mean, they earlier, I think it was like March, like the White House passed some executive order about central bank digital currency. And we know that's what they want. We know we're inching towards that. And so they need to like break the old system. And I think that's what we're seeing here is just like the designed controlled demolition of the existing like financial system, which is scary. Like, I don't know. Like I'm broke. I don't have anything, dude. I rent a room. I have a truck.
Y'all are.
I'm financing. You know what I mean? Like I don't have any assets or anything. Like if this financial system were to crash and go away, I'd be like, cool. Like, right on. Exactly. I don't have much debt. I don't have much debt. Thank God. But like, I just am like, you know, I'd be like,
I think if the financial system crashed, everybody who had debt would be stoked. Cause they'd be like,
exactly. What are you going to do?
Hell yeah.
Come cool. at me, bitch.
That would yeah, be fantastic.
I think that's what it's going to be. And I think they're going to sell it on those 2 points. Like, it's going to be like, you know, hey, your debt's gone, but you get to accept this new digital dollar, or people's like all of right. their wealth, all of their like wealth that's in a bank type of wealth is going to be wiped out. And they'll be like, oh, you can recoup like 70% of it if you accept it in these digital tokens. You know what I mean? And so, yeah. you know, that's going to be the thing that then people are going to accept that offering. And then it's going to be like, it's game over at that point. And then it's like, okay, did you
see about the digital currency that expires? You have to use yeah, it within 3
exactly.
days.
That's exactly. Thing.
And yeah, then that's, we're copying China in everything we do. If we just yep. pretend we're not.
Yep. And exactly. And so I was just talking to it with Jason about this last night. And then it's like, if you look at what Elon Musk is working on, you know, it's all fourth industrial revolution, great reset stuff, you know, whether it's like the brain oh, yeah. machine interface, it's like the electric cars, like the driverless cars. Right. He's got the, obviously this, the Skynet, whatever the hell you call it. Starlink,
called Starlink.
Skynet. Yeah. Starlink, Skynet. Yeah. 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 But now with Twitter, you know, there's talk about the online identification, you know, some sort of like verification to verify your identity to go online. Like, that's dangerous. But then he's got this thing called X. Are you familiar with X? So it's like
found.
So he apparently owns the domain x.com, right? And his vision is to create an app that's everything. Like, it's the everything app. Like, it's all your social media, all your banking, like your job interviews, all your health data, like Mark, everything. Geez. Yeah, exactly. Consolidated into one app. And he's talking about, oh yeah, it'd be really great if we had this. And I saw an interview where he's talking and comparing it to WeChat, the WeChat program, which is what they use in China.
I was just going to say that sounds like yeah. China.
That's the Uyghur shit.
Yeah. Huh? So it's like the WeChat it's software yeah. is what they use. What is what their social credit system is built off of over in China. And so like what he's describing is that. So like with the central bank digital currency, Elon Musk's like X app, you have like the final like digital enslavement of everybody. Right. And so that's why we're going to be like, you know, we're going to have to just, that's when we're like all of this crushing and community building. First? Yeah.
So I have a theory about this first, what they're possibly going to do. I have no idea what's actually coming, but if the vaccines have compromised people's health, we're going to be the ones who are left. So before all of this is implemented, they're going to incentivize us in a way that will be hard to resist. So stay hesitant. We need to get those shirts out.
Stay hesitant.
But it's going to be on our side in our community, or people who are hesitant. I think they're going to be incentivized to play into this system in some way that we don't quite see yet.
So I actually heard a kind of a positive take on the future from Jay Widener on, I think he was on Chris's show, Forbidden Knowledge News. He was talking about how, you know, everything's kind of the fourth industrial revolution. All these things are kind of pointing to a robot future where it's like, here's your UBI. You don't have to work anymore because robots do everything. He's like, okay, if there's that many robots doing everything for us, there's got to be somebody that fixes the robots or the drones or whatever. Yeah. He's like, for most of that shit these days, probably requires a master's in engineering. So they're going to either have to churn out a bunch of fucking masters of engineering to fix these things, or it's not going to work. So he's actually not convinced at all that it's going to go anywhere near like a Black Mirror style future, because it's kind of impossible at this point, at least.
I don't think it's Black Mirror-ish, but China's already implementing this. So China yeah. does have Skynet. I think that's even what it's called. Wow. They have cameras everywhere where there yeah. was, we heard a story about a hiker who went in, he like dropped into China and people surrounded him immediately. Like the CCP was on him and he was like, what the fuck?
How did they have that many people watching all those cameras? Like, that's crazy.
It's like isn't it the most populous country in the world? Like, they have the people for it and they're all crazy and brainwashed. Not all of them. Okay. A lot of them are, I mean, a lot of them aren't, but a lot of people who are members of the CCP are only doing it because they're scared. A lot of like the similar to here where people like get the Nazi vaccinated. Party type thing, yeah. That's what I was saying the other day. That one book, The Chief Witness, that I read, the chick, she signed up to be a member of the CCP and she was Kazakh, which is just as bad as being a Uyghur over there. But she was a CCP member because she was a teacher and she was like, I have to. If I don't, then my family's in danger. And they're looking out for others by doing that. And their family members spy on them. That is the system they're trying to bring over here.
Yeah, that's the coercion thing they're going to do for the CBDC, like you're talking about, where it's going to be like, if you don't get this, fine, but kind of like your driver's license. And there's that slow roll I was talking about. We get used to these things we have to do in order to partake of the conveniences of society.
And then like we just have to get stronger. And we're doing that. We're building a community. And
good.
Here in America, I think I have faith in us. I think we're going to be okay because we're going to rise up and say, fuck you to the end.
Yeah.
It's going to be something that everybody sees. You know, we're not going to hide in corners and be like, fuck you, I guess.
That's the other thing, though, is I'm trying to figure out why the fuck they would be trying to kill off. We've talked about this before, but why they would try to kill off a bunch of people, the vax, and leave the smartest people here. Don't they want the dumbest people here so that they can control them here? Or do they want their new slave labor? You know,
I think what it is like they want to kill everybody, right? And so, you know, it's easier, like they're going to get to the point where it's going to be so blatant and obvious that everybody's gonna fight back, right? And so, you know, why would you, so it like just like war strategy, you just like a war of attrition, you'd have to like eliminate, like, hey, if we can just really easily eliminate all the dumb gullible ones right off the top, like maybe 30-40% right off the top, okay, then we can focus on the 60% and really get hardcore with these guys. But we just wiped out 40%.
More eugenics. I agree with you a little bit, but I think they want to keep some people around. And if they're going to keep only some people around, they're not going to keep the fucking plebs around because they're going to die immediately and so will their offspring. Yeah. So they're going to keep the people around who are free thinkers who are going to fight and rebel, but they're going to try to break their spirit. But those genes are still in them.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to keep a certain amount of the population alive, but they're going to want to keep the population that's the best. That, you know, will fight when it comes down to it, even when the people who are, you know, inflicting this on us are long gone, if they ever die. Who knows?
Maybe that is a pretty big white pill. You know, like they're killing off all the weaklings to just preserve the really strong human genes, those who resist and put up a good fight, because maybe
I think it's not white, though. I think they actually have a nefarious plan, but I think they need the strong people there.
And this is the old double reverse we always talk about, too.
Maybe. What if there's like a spaceship? Like, let's just pretend space is not fake and gay for a split second. And there's a spaceship flying here at the speed of light. And we know in like 100,000 years, it's going to arrive here, and it's going to, they've been texting intergalactically. They're like, I'm going to come kick your ass, motherfucker. And Earth is like, oh yeah, come and get me, bitch. And then
they're like, tweeting, for sure.
They're tweeting back and forth. He's like, they're like, all right, we're coming to get you, motherfucker. And they're like, all right, we'll see you in 800,000 years. And they're driving. And so they got 100,000 years left. And so now the humans need to breed the strongest, most capable fighting force to defeat these intergalactic.
Exactly my theory. Yeah,
exactly. The intergalactic.
It's a little farcical. I get it. But what I said. I said to Joe, they are trying to kill off everyone with the vaccine who will take it. And then we're going to be left and they're going to coerce us with, good job, you guys. You didn't take the vaccine. We're so proud of you. Now go fight some aliens, like some Halo shit.
That's awesome. Yeah, an intergalactic drive-by. There's going to go out the side.
What you're describing, though, is like the longest UFC pregame shit talking ever. Yes. We're in our face, but it's like we still have 100,000 years.
I don't know if it's 100,000 years. I think they've accelerated their plan a little bit.
Well, it could have been at some point.
Who knows, though? I don't know how it all works, but I do think there's something that they need the strong people for. And they're going to convince us that they're telling us we're wrong this whole time because they're really trying to weed out the weak. So they're like, you suck, you suck, you suck, you suck.
Maybe they need to separate the wheat from the chaff. Who knows?
Yeah. They need the strongest out of all of us to fight climate change. That's what it is.
Oh, wow. No, they know climate change is bullshit. They're going to be like, just kidding. The reason that climate change is happening is because there's a spaceship that's super close to Earth.
Yeah. Well,
and it's gonna explode.
Another weird thing is, I guess Bezos was talking about donating most of his $120 billion, who fucking knows how many billions he has of his fortune to fighting climate change. I'm like, okay, money laundering. How does not anybody, how is the SEC or whoever's in charge of this not seeing that, like, he's gonna donate that many billions of dollars to climate change? And that's such a vague, like, umbrella of a term. I'm donating it to climate change. So you're giving it to Bill Gates so he can launder it? Like, what are you doing?
No, the SEC is fully on board with it, dude. They're like creating new securities and exchanges for climate change. Like, they're creating new asset classes. Like, that's the, I was talking to Jason about this last night. It's like the tokenization of every blade of grass and every tree. And it's going to, like, each one's going to have like its own little like thing that can be traced on the blockchain, and people are going to be trading them like commodities on their own exchange. It's like this whole new asset class that they're inventing. Yeah, totally, dude. And so, like, I mean, this is like old school Agenda 21 shit, but like they're talking about
they're
it
looking
now.
To control and monitor every single pixel of reality is
yes.
what it sounds like.
Yes, that's exactly
we
it.
And, stay on top of this shit, because we're going to be like 90-year-olds like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I remember
son?
Back in 2020
you're
with
trying
the COVID
to exchange
wars.
A blade of grass. Like, no.
Dude. You oh, my stay God. On it. Like, these are the best times, man. I can't believe that we're like, you know,
it's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, dude, we're like in our 30s and 40s, like during this time, we're like the prime of our lives during the most epic struggle for the soul of humanity. And it's like, here we are, like in the trenches, just talking shit. And like, again, you know, the best thing about it is that this whole battle, this war, this spiritual warfare is being fought, and we are decimating them with memes, dude. Cartoons
or just like ignoring what they say and do, it just causes
that's
so much drama. They get so mad about
they're such narcissistic assholes. They're like, pay attention to this shit we're doing to you, and
like, I don't have to, man.
I'm gonna make a meme the Leo face on it. That's it.
You spent trillions of dollars in all these marketing research groups and studies, and you're sitting in your think tanks and you're flying around the world and you're trying, how do we get these guys? And all you have to do is like a caption on a Leonardo DiCaprio meme. Boom. Just decimated your whole plan, dude. Just wiped it out, dude. Done.
You gotta have a cat here somewhere, maybe Drake's face. Yeah, who knows?
Yep, that's it. That's all it takes. It's just a meme, and their $1 trillion plans are out the window, man. It's epic. It's epic. Right on, guys. Well, shoot, man. Well, tell these folks how that they can listen to your awesome show and find your epic memes.
Well, our home base is Rockfin. We're right here on Rockfin2 /legitbat.com/legitbat. I can't see. I'm trying to be more professional. Like,
there you go.
We're also on YouTube. I post some stuff up there and more just to kind of test the waters and see how far I can go. We're on Brighteon.com now, too. That's Mike Adams' platform.
Yeah.
They basically just said, yeah, sure, upload your videos. So I was like, cool. And then any audio platform, of course, merch at legitbat.com and instagram.com/legitbat for the dankest of memes, like Scott was saying. And not all of them are mine, to be fair, but I take credit for all of them.
Yeah, dude, that's great. I love it. The memes are for the people, man. That's great. Awesome. Jen, any final thoughts? Any final words?
Fernal Thurts.
I wish you lived closer, because I wish you could come visit. But thanks for having us on.
Yeah. You guys got to come to Nashville. Have you guys ever been to Nashville?
I've been to Knoxville. We have to go out there and see Tony Merkel anyway. So I'm sure we'll head out there at some point.
I used to live in Indiana, so that was like a vacation spot. Yeah. Knoxville and Nashville both.
Dude, I'm just like, I can't get enough of this place. It's amazing. So awesome.
Vacation there?
Yeah.
Hey, sorry, Scott.
No worries.
Sorry, the Smoky Mountains are amazing.
I've been to Knoxville, the area, but I have not checked out the mountains yet. So I need to make that a mission. So, all right, guys. hell yeah. Well, maybe one of you guys can make it out here someday. We'll make a whole trip of it. So, thank you guys. Thank you guys for everything. I appreciate you, and I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.